Ah, there you are. You're there. Good morning. How you doing? Thursday morning it is. January 16th, 2020. The BBG, not the BBC. The worst live stream in the history of YouTube. How you doing? I'm all right myself, to be honest. Bit Rodney Dangerfield. I'm all right now, but last week, I gotta tell you. In fact, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. I've been battling with a little bit of a chest infection for the last few days. And I've not mentioned it because, I'm double hard. I'm a double hard bastard. I've not mentioned it because I've just been kind of monitoring it. With my history of lung issues, I do have to be careful about chest infections. And it's just a niggly one. Woke up feeling pretty rotten this morning, but I feel okay now, strangely. So I'm in good form. Not had a drink for, 2 weeks now, isn't it? Just over 2 weeks. And I'm kind of proud of that. There you are. Somebody called James Gregg has chatted or has posted on the chat. Max Egan just went full Ken O'Keefe. Address this or I'm unsubbing Richie. James, unsub and fuck off. I have no idea who you are and I couldn't give a fuck, mate. Okay. All right. Apparently Max Egan made a video and it's on Max's channel on YouTube, The Crow House, and it's got people all wound up. I haven't seen it. And I certainly wouldn't be making any comment on it. Why would I? So fuck off, James, and everybody like you. We're going to look at the front pages of the newspapers in a second, and then one or two very interesting stories inside. Let me just give a nod to Raja Mia MBE, who was on the radio programme last night, and his blog. God, I could have screen grabbed the blog now. But like I said, I've got a bit of a heavy head. I could have screen grabbed the blog. It's recusant, so R-E-C-U-S-A-N-T, hyphen 9-N-I-N-E.com. And there is a series of articles on there called Welcome to Oldham, which reads like a mafia thriller. It really does. About how Asian gangsters, enabled by the Labour Party in Oldham, are in control of the city. It's extraordinary. And he was on the programme with me last night. I will and have, of course, not will, have, notified the people mentioned in the interview last night that he was on and that if they want to exercise their right of reply, they can do so on my radio programme. But I won't be holding my breath because they've already said, some of the people connected with Oldham Council and the MP for the area, that they don't have any intentions of addressing what they have called ridiculous allegations by Raja Mia. That's what they've said. They're ridiculous, they're unfounded, they're not going to dignify them. That's what they've said. Sadly for them, and I don't mean to editorialise here, I take no position on anything, and I didn't take a position last night, of course. Sadly for them, email exchanges that are in the public domain will mean for them that sooner rather than later they won't have a choice but to address them. It's as simple as that. They will have to address the allegations made by Raja Mia because there are communications, as I said, in the public domain which are genuine and authentic and must be addressed. Recusant-9.com if you want to find out more about that. Okay. Good stuff. Alrighty. John Rorty's got a cuppa. I saw John on Twitter. How you doing, John? John, you're a gas man. It's 4:30 there on the East Coast in the US. I know that as a tradesman, John, as a man who knows his way around a drill and a wrench, I know you've got early hours, but Jesus, man, that's very early. Fair play to you. You're a man after my own heart. I'm an early riser myself. Good stuff. Let me just unhide James Gregg's response because it was hidden. James says, you fuck off yourself, boy. Good man, James, boy. Makes me laugh. People telling you what you have to address and what you don't have to address, or I'm unsubbing. Fuck off. Christ, have you not listened to me for 5 years? I listen to nobody. I take orders from nobody, direction from no one. Fucking hell. My God. If you said that to me in the street, I'd knock you fucking out. Give me a break. Right, let's, before we look at the newspapers, it's chaos. Chaos reigns at Chez Tisserand. Chez Tisserand. Why do I say Chez Tisserand? Because my remarks a second ago about me not taking orders from anybody, well, patently bullshit. The future Mrs. Allen runs. this place like, I don't know, like a prison guard in fucking Wormwood Scrubs. She's a tyrant. What's a tyrant? Well, that's how Caroline says tyrant. Caroline's got an outrageous French accent. And she calls me a tyrant, but she's a tyrant. Runs things with an iron fist. But we're living in chaos at the moment, and it's because of this nutcase here. Again, the worst production values in the history of YouTube live streams. There she is. That's Little Leia. L-E-I-A. I've told the story, haven't I? In the past, we've rescued dogs from rescue centres, rescue shelters. Not because, one of those, because we're so good, we're so angelic, we're so decent. No, we've always felt the right thing to do is to rescue. Caroline's got a thing for golden retrievers. Because when we were in Spain, we adopted a golden retriever called Millie from a family who were customers at Caroline's bar. And they loved Caroline, these people. And they were nice people. And they had a 2.5-year-old golden retriever. And they worked in oil and gas and were sent to Houston, Texas, obviously. And they couldn't take Millie with them. So we took Millie on board. And it was the first time in Caroline's life that she had a dog in her adult life. There was a pup when she was very young, but they didn't have dogs. And young Millie had a congenital problem, kidneys, heart, really bad problems that couldn't be dealt with, and passed away. And it was devastating for Caroline. It was after that that we rescued Jazz, our 12-year-old German Shepherd Collie Cross. And I've grown up with dogs. I've known, I've been around dogs and puppies my entire life. So Caroline loves them. And we've been thinking for a long time about introducing a new dog to the house. And I knew that post-Christmas, I knew that people would be trying to rehome Labradors and Retrievers. I knew this. Why do I know this? Well, because I'm a journalist and I've worked in commercial radio. And these are the things that you cover on radio programs in the new year, because it happens all the time. Very well-meaning people. And the couple that we got Leia from, lovely people, really well-meaning people. But it was the first time in their lives that they had ever purchased a dog, and they hadn't a Scooby-Doo, God love them. Why would they? They haven't a clue at the carnage, the chaos, the sheer terrorism. You know, the screams, the footsteps in the night. The piss. No idea. And both of them working full-time, none of them working from home. It was a disastrous decision. So we met them and we had a chat with them and we said, look, we'll have Little Leia because we can put up with it. I'm complaining about the carnage now, but it's not news to me. I knew it was coming. I knew when we took her on last Saturday, this was what we were going to be dealing with. And we're dealing with it. And we love her. We idolise her. And Jazz, our 12-year-old collie German Shepherd Cross, has gotten used to her very quickly and is sniffing around her, and they're getting on famously. There she is. And in the background there, you'll see a playpen. Dog and animal lovers, calm down, calm down, calm down, dear. She wouldn't spend more than an hour in an entire day in the playpen. The playpen is for when we have to leave the room or the area. You can't leave them run around because you'll come back and they can turn a house into a bomb site in around about 6 minutes. Believe me. Let a golden retriever pup loose in a living room. Go outside and have a cup of tea or a cigarette if you smoke. Come back and it's Beirut. Right? There you are. Okay. It is the BBG, not the BBC. I noticed a number of you are chatting away. It seems to be very fascinating, this video that Max Egan put on his site. Yes, I haven't seen it at all. I might watch it over the weekend if I get time. But I don't have a lot of time. Apparently Max mentioned Flat Earth and I don't know. Did he? Good for him. Some very good friends of mine believe the Earth is flat. Some people I've gotten to know and I have a lot of time for. Nathan Maverick, the legendary Nathan. Sex Pistols experience, top man, very intelligent man. And he believes there's sufficient evidence to, for a second look at the, is the Earth round or is it flat thing. I don't think people are stupid when they say stuff like that. It's just I haven't seen any evidence myself. That's what it is, right? Okay. So I don't know what Max said, but it isn't really any of my business. So there you are. Okay. Let's have a look at the front pages of the newspapers. I love these people. The narcissism. You answer me and tell me what I want to hear or I'm unsubbing. Unsub then. Fuck off. I couldn't give a shit, mate. Couldn't give a shit. 2 million listeners a month on Podomatic. 85,000 listeners live every day. Nearly 5.5 million podcast downloads a quarter on iTunes. Are you shitting me? I couldn't give a fuck. Here you are. That's bragging right there. That is narcissism right there. Keep calm and carry on is the headline in the Metro. There's the Duke of, what is he? The Duke of Cambridge, is he? Like I said, they've got more titles than Apollo Creed. And his wife, tell you what, his wife's mother, Carol Middleton. I love an older woman, me. Don't I, Jean Anne? I love an older woman. And Carol Middleton, is very attractive. She's very fetching. Okay. I don't know what that story's about, and I really couldn't give a shite. Here's the Daily Mail. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you won't have seen the pictures of the little dog. You probably don't care. If you want to see the photographs, you've got to go to YouTube. Daily Mail, NHS, stop shameful bribes to gamblers. Yeah. Yeah. Online gambling, well, every bookie is now online. Bookies live online now, and they do offer bribes to people to come and gamble, free bets and stuff like that. Gambling is a terrible thing. Anybody who grew up in a working class community, as I did, gambling is a scourge. It's a terrible thing. I don't bet. Every now and then, once in a blue moon, for the crack, you know, you'll get a feeling. And my feelings are worthless. You know, United will be playing somebody and I will fancy somebody to score the first goal. And I will put £2 on or something like that. Money is hard earned, right? Don't give it to these fuckers. And I do like a bit of casino once or twice a year, although I've not been to a casino now for nearly 3 years. I like a bit of blackjack. I like to get dressed up. I like to take 50 or 60 euro and play £2 or £5 blackjack, see how it goes, and just relax. Not so much in the UK because they don't give you your drinks for free. But we used to go to a casino in Spain, in Seville, and they plied you with drink while you were gone. Of course they did. Of course they did. They want you to get pissed right up and to lose all your inhibitions and to take out more money from the machines that are placed strategically in the casino. But the BBG is not stupid. The BBG is not the brightest guy to ever live, but he's not stupid either. He's now referring to himself in the third person. He's truly lost the plot. Yeah. So I even though I've gone to casinos where they have furnished you with alcohol, I'm never losing more than my stake money. If I bring 60 or 70 or 80 euro or pounds to gamble with, that's all I'm gambling with. And I've saved up. I don't care if I lose it. Just keep bringing the double Bacardis. This is me in Seville Casino playing cards. So you got the cards there. The dealer said, this is me. More rum and cokes, please. So in the end, you just have a night out, don't you? That was the Mail. Here's the Telegraph. Police forces attacked for going soft on cannabis. There are parts of Salford that smell, the air is pregnant with the smell of ganj. Grows. We say there's a grow on. People are growing it around Salford. You can smell it in certain places. I just don't care. I should care, maybe. County lines, drug gangs, people getting stabbed. It's obviously a very serious thing. Financial Times. Putin's Kremlin revamp opens way to prolong 20-year grip on power. If you're watching Sky News, BBC News, 24 Today, if you're listening to the radio, the bulletins are full of stories about Putin being a horrible bastard of a dictator. He's revamping, he's changing the way in which politics is done. Elections are held in Russia to make it easier for him to stay on forever and ever and ever and ever. According to the papers, according to the news today. I don't know, I've not looked at it. He has been around a long time, though. The Guardian. He's a gangster, Vladimir Putin. Listen, while Russia has done the right thing by Syria, while Russia hopefully will do the right thing by Iran, you know, it's a bit of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Yes, I'm glad Russia has prevented Syria from being sacked. But Putin's a gangster. What's going on down there? Caroline's down there. Caroline's here today, working from home. Jesus. Mayhem, mayhem. The Guardian. Doctors lead outcry at plan to scrap A&E target. I haven't read that, but you can guess. And there's a picture of the actress Tilda Swinton. She's a good actress, Tilda Swinton. She takes on very interesting projects, like Tilda. First came across Tilda in the Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. She's been in lots of things. She was in an excellent film with George Clooney about corporate assassinations. What was it called, that? It was a one-word title. It was brilliant now. Brilliant. And I've told you before on my radio show about my mercenary friend, who is a real guy. And he talked to me about that film with Tilda Swinton, George Clooney. It's about a lawyer who's going to blow the whistle on serious corporate malfeasance. Clooney's a bit of a fixer. What's it called? Tell me or I'll fucking go bananas here. Anyway, it's very good. I recommend you watch it. I'm about as useful as tits on a bull this morning. Got a very heavy head. Pension tax windfall for top earners. In the Times, sure, it's always been thus, right? Right. I'm not even going to get into that. The Sun. Ant gives ex Lisa £31 million. So now I know which one Ant is. Because of the picture. There's Ant, one half of Ant and Dick. Are they good presenters, these guys? Are they? I suppose so. I suppose they've got a good rapport with one another. I think they're good at interacting with live audiences. Yes, I think they're okay, these lads. But Jesus Christ. How are they getting paid these exorbitant amounts of money to stand in front of a camera in the jungle and laugh at people eating pig's testicles? How do you get paid such large amounts of money? But apparently his ex-wife's going to get 31 million quid. Nice. Nice payday for her there. Bit Johnny. Not quite Johnny Carson. Do you remember Johnny Carson? 140 million quid he had to give to his missus. Gobby with the days. Nobody weeped for Johnny because he had plenty left. Now, as far as presenters go, Johnny Carson, Rolls Royce. And of course, being an Irish boy growing up in Ireland, I never knew anything about Johnny Carson. We didn't get The Tonight Show. I only began to look at The Tonight Show when YouTube came about. You could see old episodes in full. And also presenters like Dick Cavett or Dick Cavett. Edgy presenters. Good presenters. Parky back in the 70s. Very good. Very good. Any women, Rich? Any women in there? Yeah, Joan Rivers. Very, very good Joan Rivers. Very good Joan Rivers. Considering she was a sarcastic bitch, Joan. Very funny. But she was a very good interviewer as well in her day. I believe, anyway. We've done The Sun. Here's The Express. Remainer stitch up over Big Ben bongs. The Express has taken upon itself to champion chiming Big Ben on January 31st at 11 o'clock. 11 because it'll be midnight in Europe, you see? Central European time, 1 hour ahead of us. See? See what they're doing there? Oh, fucking hell. Hello, Jazz. Hello, baby. Jazz has had enough of the dog now. Hello, baby beef. Come over here. Good girl. There you are. You've had enough, baby. I can't show you, Jazz, can I? Can I? Jazz, come here. Come over this way. Can you see Jazz now? No, you can't. Oh, fuck it. I told you. Worst live stream ever. Couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. You'll just have to take my word for it that she's in the room. Here's The Mirror. Got him at last. This is about PC Sharon Bezhenevsky. I hope I've not pronounced that name wrong. This is a police constable who was murdered a decade ago, shot dead in cold blood, and they believe that they've tracked down the guy who did it. I hope for her sake that they have, for her family's sake that they have. Here's the iPaper. Electric car surge risks national grid overload. Interesting. I haven't read. Why haven't you read it, you BBG? Because I haven't. Fucking hell, there's only so much time in the day. I've got some stories to share with you, which I have read. These are the headlines today. Good morning to those of you chatting away on the live chat. What's the name of that George Clooney film? What's it called? It's not Syriana, no, Patricia. No, it's not Sirianni. Sirianni's very good, though. Very good. Let's have a look. It's not Sirianni. Jesus wept. Why can't you just... I can't do it. Why can't you put Tilda Swinton and Max... Max... See, you're talking about Max Egan. Why can't you put Tilda Swinton and George Clooney into a search engine? Michael Clayton, Neil James. Well done, son. Neil James, give that man a banana. The film is called Michael Clayton, and it is extraordinary. A couple of films, fictional films from Hollywood that you must see because they give you a glimpse beyond the mainstream media as to the way the world really is. Lord of War, Nicolas Cage. You must see it. You must see Lord of War, Nicolas Cage. I can't give you any spoilers. You've got to see it. It's about an arms dealer. Marvellous. Oh, yeah. Watch it. There's so much talk going on about Max. I'll have to watch this. Max, upload to YouTube. I'll have to watch it. Okay. Here we go. Let's get rid of some of the not so interesting stories. But I know you're interested in them. So I've grabbed them. It's 9 minutes to 10, by the way. Labour is looking for a new leader. We'll know sometime in the first week in April. Apparently Rebecca Long Bailey is in the lead, apparently. 5-point lead. A shock 5-point lead over her competitors. Keir Starmer, Jess Phillips, Lisa Dutta, and Emily Thornberry. Okay. There's Jess Phillips there. And Long Bailey. Okay? Okay. What am I doing here? Yep. That's in the mail. It's everywhere else. Prince Philip! The Duke of Edinburgh's Trust. It's got some advice for teenagers. Here's a file photograph of Prince Philip. There he is. There's the prince there in all his glory, Prince Philip. File photograph that. I got that from Google. Philip has got some advice for teenagers. The 25 things all teenagers should do. Duke of Edinburgh's award. Staff drew up checklist of activities to help youngsters build character. Let's have a look at them. Here you are. Oh! Prince Philip, are you awake now? Yeah. Get work experience or a part-time job. I want you to check these off with me. Now, I know my great mate, oft-mentioned great mate, absolute fox, great actress, Jean-Anne Crewley. I know that Jean-Anne, like me, will be able to tick off all of these, won't you, Jean-Anne? John Rorty, top man. John is in, well, John is older than me. New York, John, Boston, John. East Coast, John. John will tick off a lot of these as well. Get work experience for a part-time job. Did it. Ding. Had part-time jobs. In Quinsworth. In Port Lauriga. In Liz Duggan. I pushed a brush around a floor during summers. Pretending to sweep the floor. With a nice Quinsworth t-shirt on me. And I got paid £1.50 an hour. For the privilege. Spend time getting to know an older person. Ding. Best friend I ever had. Gidio Gianni, senior citizen living next door to me, originally from Italy, was captured, was a prisoner of war, was held in England, was released after the war, came to Ireland and joined up at Waterford Crystal, became a Waterford Crystal blower. An amazing man, Gidio Gianni. One of the greatest men I ever knew. And as a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, I used to go for long walks with Gidio and he would regale me with tales of Italy. He was amazing. He was also one of the most racist fuckers that ever lived. I loved him. Back in the Olympics of 1996, a black woman won a gold medal for Italy in the swimming pool and Egidio wouldn't have it. That panther couldn't be Italian, he said. Proper fucking racist. But I loved him anyway. That panther. Jesus wept. This is the old people, you see. Harmless racism. Racism nonetheless, but harmless. That panther. I can't do an Italian accent. I can't do any accent. That panther couldn't be Italian, he said. Jesus Christ, huh? Okay, what else? Become a mentor to someone younger. I'm not sure I can tick that box. I coached schoolboy football. Volunteer for a charity. Ding. I'm sure we've all done that. Join a club for your hobby. Yeah, played football. Played rugby once and once only. Got my head kicked in. Never again. Go to a music festival or a gig. I've been to them all. Learn a foreign language. Did my best. I've got pidgin German and pidgin Spanish. Set a personal physical challenge. Done that. Learn first aid. No, I've never learned first aid. I took first aid classes when I was 18 or 19, locally in Waterford, because I was convinced that we would be able to practice mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And I knew some rather fit girls were going to be attending the same first aid course. But the organiser of the first aid course was very fucking clever. And he saw that coming. And he wanted the blokes to practice mouth-to-mouth on each other. So like a News of the World reporter, I made my excuses and got the fuck out of there at the speed of light. Yeah. The BBG was sick. I was a sick pervert as a young boy. First aid courses, excellent. There'll be a chance for some snogging. There wasn't, though. Learn to manage your own money. Ding. Travel somewhere new. Ding. Experience a digital detox. No chance. Learn to cook. I can burn a chicken with the best of them. Try veganism or vegetarianism. I did when I was in my mid to late teens. I've mentioned this on a radio show before. I went 2 years without having any meat. Carry out a random act of kindness. I think we've all done that. Learn about your history. Speak in public. Ding. Create a piece of art or music. My guitar playing is, well, it's rudimentary at best. Go dancing. I've danced with a tranny. Dress for yourself and not for others. Dress for yourself, not others. Look at the fucking state of me. Who do you think I'm dressing for? Engage in politics. Learn about climate change. And have a conversation with someone you've never met before. That sounds like the Spitting Image song. Hold a chicken in the air. Stick a deck chair up your nose. Buy a jumbo jet. And then bury all your clothes. Paint your left leg green. Remember that? It was number one in the charts back in the 80s. Anyway, enough of that fucking shit. Here we go. Back to the papers. Prince Philip is very concerned about young people. Of course he is. That's not Prince Philip. That's Henry Kane. The Reverend Henry Kane. You're all going to die in there. Poltergeist 2 is the film. Do you know who loves those films? Hayden Hewitt. Oh, he loves a good horror, Hayden. Oh, he loves a good horror. What do you make of this? Marvellous. What do you make of this? The Scottish Football Association could ban children heading balls within weeks. Now, speaking of coaching schoolboy football. BBC Scotland has learned Scottish FA wants to lead the way on the issue after a report found former players are more at risk of dying from the disease. Jeff Astle was a magnificent football player back in his day. Played for West Brom and England. Great player. And Jeff died of... He died and he had dementia. And they reckon that him heading the ball maybe thousands of times in his career certainly contributed to his problems and his symptoms. Jeff, God love him, back in the day when he was playing football, the ball was a different thing than it is now. It was a very, very, very heavy leather-made ball, which during wet periods, which is most of the time in the UK, the ball absorbed the water from the grass and from the air and became very hard. And it was like heading a stone. I had one experience some years ago. I got to experience that ball. And Christ, I don't know how Bobby Charlton and Pelé and all these great players, how they were able to hit that ball at speeds. I mean, unbelievable, right? But not necessarily in football matches. What do you think of this? Is this nanny stating gone too far? Do you think we should protect the undeveloped craniums of young boys and girls? Is it a smart thing? I'm leaning towards this is nanny stating gone mad. Why? Because even though the Scottish FA's Dr. John McLean, who's consulted on banning under-12s from heading the ball in training, they have to acknowledge that there isn't any firm evidence linking heading the ball to the disease. And there's Jeff Astle, who I mentioned a second ago there. I just don't like it. I don't like it. You know, millions and millions of us played football when we were younger and we headed the ball. I was never any good. For a very tall child, I wasn't the greatest header of the ball, really. Never, you know, heading is about timing. I was never the greatest header of the ball, but I headed the ball a lot. And my friends, who might be watching this now, many of them better football players than I was, would have headed the ball a lot. I'm not sure this is a good thing. I think it's a bit of nanny stating, and I'd be worried about it. Because where does it lead, you know? Anyway, that's in the BBC. Very interesting stories in the Times today that made me laugh. Before we get to the funny ones, here's Donald Trump. Punish Iran or face US tariffs. Trump is basically, what we're learning today is, now of course, don't believe it. Don't believe that Trump is the architect of this. Don't believe it. The Trump administration privately threatened Britain, France and Germany with a 25% tariff on cars exported to the US unless they took action against Iran for defying the nuclear agreement. Did he? So apparently Trump said, do what I tell you, punish Iran, or we'll whack a very serious tariff on cars made in the European Union and exported to the United States of America. This story originated in the Washington Post. Do you really believe that it's Trump's doing? You see, Israel, because of the influence Israel wields in European countries in general, and in the West in general, and it does, we know this, no point in, you know, this can't be avoided. I don't care how often it comes up. You might think it comes up too often for comfort. I don't care. It has to be mentioned. Israel can't be seen to be doing this. So it gets its puppet, its lapdog, the United States, to do its bidding. That's what it is. This is straight out of Tel Aviv. And of course, we saw France, Germany and the UK. They didn't so much jump as scream how high. Right? Punish Iran. Punish Iran. Yeah. Christ. There's a guy, you won't have seen this because the Times, you can buy the Times obviously, but to subscribe to it is expensive. The Richie Allen Radio Show subscribes to the newspapers for obvious reasons. You won't have seen this, but it's my favourite story ever. So far, I don't know how long we've been doing these crappy live streams on YouTube. I don't know how long we've been doing them. 6 months, thereabouts, something like that. This is my favourite ever story. I love this. Divorced man demands a duel with his ex. He wants a sword fight with either his ex-wife or her new partner. A man from Kansas. Diddling, ding, 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 ding. Diddling, diddling, ding, 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 ding. Right? A man from Kansas, facing mounting legal problems after his divorce, has demanded the right to trial by combat to settle the matter in a sword fight. David Ostrom, he's 40, he asked a court in Iowa to grant his motion for a duel so that he could confront either his ex-wife, Bridget Ostrom, or her lawyer, Matthew Hudson, on the field of battle, where he will, quote, rend their souls from their bodies. Massive problems here with custody rights, property tax repayments, and the only people getting anything out of it are the fucking lawyers. I happen to know a couple of solicitors very, very well. To a man and woman, they will tell you, never engage solicitors, barristers, the law. However fucking much you hate your ex-wife or you hate your ex-husband, don't get the fucking law involved. It'll break you. Settle it amongst yourselves. And then you won't have to be challenging them to a fucking duel at dawn with samurai swords. Good stuff. Love that story. Love this. In France. A dustman in France. A dustman. Or a waste management technician. As some dustmen call themselves these days. Don't ever sniff at men or women who work in waste management, particularly if they work for the councils. These are very good jobs with very good benefits. Don't be a snob. A dustman in France fell asleep on the job. He was photographed and he was fired, but he's now become a national hero. Love this. I love this because I lived in Spain for, as you know, for some years. And we've got our own stories about the Spanish and siestas. We love it. Got many stories. This is brilliant. It's in the Times as well. Sleeping dustman offered a job for life. There he is. Took the boots off and everything. Merde. Sacre bleu. I'm fucking knackered, so I'm gonna have a kip. His name is Adam Cisse. He's enjoying sympathy in the media, praise from internet users, and an invitation to apply for a new job with Paris Council. In September 2018, he took off his shoes, lay down by a shop window, and had a bit of a snooze. 20 minutes in the uniform given to him by Paris City Council. There he is. So, of course, a passerby took a picture, put it on Twitter. He was fired. Because the passerby tweeted, "This is what local taxes are paid for. This guy having a snooze and all of that." But he's become a bit of a national hero. And he'll be gainfully employed again real soon. Good man. When we lived in Spain, the oft-mentioned future Mrs. A. Running joke. We've been engaged since 2008. It's a running joke. Was beloved by the locals because she immersed herself in Spain. Learned the language at the speed of light. Fluent in the language. And when running her business and when building her business, she used Spaniards exclusively and got involved. And they loved her for it. And it was a very funny thing when she was building her bar, which she built out of an empty old office, which is overlooking a beautiful marina. It was very funny to see the work habits of the Spanish. The mañana thing, never being on time, taking their siestas. They used to lie down in the middle of all the rubble at 2 or 3 o'clock of an afternoon. They would just lie down, basically foot to foot, two lads, and just go for a kip. Lying down on the job. We just found it hilarious. So good luck to the dustman who's got a job for life. That made me laugh. I like that story. I know some more serious stories. This is not really serious. It's everywhere today. Judges take star roles as TV cameras move into criminal courts. Pretty soon, cameras will be allowed in to film parts of criminal trials at the Old Bailey. But, this is much ado about nothing. Because the cameras will only be allowed switched on during the sentencing phase. And they will only be allowed to focus on the presiding judge. So you won't get to see the courtroom. You won't get to see shots of the witnesses and the QCs. No, just the judge summing up. And there'll also be a 10-second delay. It's going to be a boring load of shite, really. It won't be like OJ or the case of the nanny, Louise. What was her name? Was it Louise Woodward? The nanny who was, you know, tried for allegedly shaking a baby. So it's much ado about nothing. It won't be very interesting. Maybe it'll develop over time. I don't know. What else have we got? Very good editorial. I'm going to rush through these in the Telegraph today. So there's a picture of Harry and Meghan. It is time to call out the intolerant, wokes, racist double standards. This is a good editorial in the Telegraph today. And it's written by Cheryl, I think it's Cheryl Jacobs. With news items like Megxit and Manchester's failure to crack down on grooming gangs, not so much sparking debate as detonating ever deeper dividing lines That much is clear. We need to talk about racism. It is true that a virulent strain of prejudice is itching undetected beneath the British social fabric, but not in the way that the virtue signalers who have so energetically lectured the public this week on their subconscious racism would have us believe. A normalised bigotry is hiding in plain sight, writes Sherelle Jacobs. It conceals genuine injustices, she writes. Diagnosing it is tricky because it involves confronting human shortcomings. Like any self-respecting epidemic, it also has a chillingly sterile name, identity politics. It's amazing how the mainstream media is cottoning on to identity politics. We've been talking about it for years on the Richie Allen radio show. They're only getting it now, and the problems with it in the broadsheet press here in the UK. Dictating that the most important thing about you is your race or gender, its most obvious manifestation is an infuriating us versus them narrative. All white people are racists and all ethnic minorities are victims. Sherelle, you're late to the party, love, but this is good stuff. And it's important stuff. Okay? People need to understand what's going on here. She talks about the appearance of a woman called Dr. Shola Moss Shogbamimu on This Morning, which is an ITV programme. And Dr. Shola Moss Shogbamimu was talking about racism directed towards Meghan Markle, but couldn't identify any specific examples of how Meghan Markle has been racially abused. She talks about the outrageous truth about identity politics. The retrograde movement does not help us address racism because it renounces both dialogue and empiricism. Who needs to provide evidence when one is clearly right? Facts are irrelevant. Feelings trump hard evidence and facts. Who needs to provide evidence when one is clearly right? Who needs to have a debate when the answer is decided? Instead of the end of history, we've reached the end of reason. This is brilliant stuff. Well done. And she goes on to talk about the nonsense of Sheffield University paying students £9 whatever an hour to go and seek out examples of racism, even if it's unintended. Yeah. But in The Guardian, you've got Afua Hirsch praising Sheffield University. Praising it. And she says we're living in an educational apartheid in which most of us remain profoundly ignorant about racism and its history. This leaves a minority, like her, who either have lived an experience of racism or have made an effort to self-educate with the gargantuan task of communicating how racism works and the language in which it manifests. I've experienced it. I'm a minority who has experienced it. Most everybody else is ignorant about racism. It's a gargantuan task to communicate to people how racism works. And she finds it a gargantuan task to communicate how racism works because she wants people to just accept what she says as gospel and that they should then just shut the fuck up and do what they're told. But millions of people are refusing to be gaslit by the likes of Afua Hirsch. I refuse to allow anybody to tell me that I am a racist, subconscious or otherwise, because I'm not. I'm a strong man. You're a strong man or you're a strong woman. You're not going to tolerate it. You're not going to be told that you are some sort of scumbag who harbours resentment against minorities, whether you are aware of it or not. Fuck no, are we putting up with that? You judge a man or a woman by their deeds, by how they interact with people, by what they do, by what they say, not by what you think they think. Not by what you think they might have buried somewhere deep within them and that they're not even aware of. See that guy over there? That guy's a racist. He doesn't even know it. He seems to be nice, but he's got white privilege. He's got unconscious bias. He's not even aware of it. We need to educate him about his unconscious bias. When in reality, that guy over there never does any fucking harm to anybody. He just goes about his daily life. He meets Sikhs, he meets Muslims, he meets Pakistani men and women, he meets Indian men and women, he meets black men and women, he meets gays, lesbians, transsexuals, and he doesn't give a fuck. His criteria for judging all of those people is, as is my criteria, Are they nice? Are they nice people? Can you have a chat with them? Do they get their fucking round in? That's it. So she can fuck right off, Afua Hirsch, and all the other woke fuckers like her, that we don't know anything about racism, that only she does, and that we better listen and accept that we are unconsciously biased. Fuck off! You and everybody like you. We're fucking sick of you. Don't wake the sleeping giant, love. I'm fucking telling you, because it won't be good. When people start standing up to this, it won't be good for you. Don't read into that, that I'm talking about any, you know, violence or anything. Of course not. You know, don't wake the sleeping giant. The white working class have been shit on for fucking decades in this country and everywhere else. Bearing the brunt of every one of the fucking agendas that we talk about on the Richie Allen radio show. Don't wake the sleeping giant. Don't make me angry, Mr. McGee, because you wouldn't fucking like me when I get angry. You're in no physical danger, but eventually we've got to stand upright. You'd have thought. What else have we got? I'll finish with this. Finish with this. Because on the issue of racism, this might be a bit controversial now. This might be a bit controversial. And I know my black viewers, they might get pissed off with me. And my Pakistani viewers, you might get pissed off at me as well. But don't. The woman screaming out of her car window here is a fucking dickhead. Right? Road rage. She has an incident in her car with somebody whose ethnicity turns out to be Pakistani. She loses her fucking shit completely and starts screaming, "I don't like Pakis, you are terrorists, don't forget that." It's very easy to label that stupid bitch in the car as racist. But it's far more complicated than that. This goes back to a monologue that I did on a radio show some months ago where I explained my experience of conflict resolution as a working class rough and tumble boy from Ballybeg in County Waterford. We grow up in working class areas. We live, you know, in families where conflict is resolved often by screaming at the tops of our voices. I've spoken to Jean Anne about this. Jean Anne had a different upbringing than me. She didn't have a privileged upbringing or anything like it. But she had a more sane, you know, beginning than I did. I grew up in a family, in a working class estate, where there were lots of problems, money problems and stuff, where people had rows. You know this. I know many of my listeners have had a similar background to me. And we're not very sophisticated. We learn, we grow up and we adapt and we eventually learn because we are intelligent. But we scream and we shout and we say unspeakable things to one another. Unspeakable things. I've done it myself. I'm not proud of it. Unspeakable things. Right? You're in a frenzy. Emotional. We're emotional. The Irish are emotional anyway. And that's what this is. You've bumped up against somebody who's done something you don't like. It's getting a bit hostile, so you start attacking them personally. Doesn't mean that you are a genuine, bona fide, dyed-in-the-wool racist. It might just mean that you are a fucking idiot. These stories, I'm very interested in these stories. You've seen videos on the tube of people screaming at people and bringing the other person's ethnic background into it. It's not pretty, it's not pleasant, it's not nice. And my critics, and you might be criticising me, right now you might be saying Richie's full of shit. You might say that it is in these times of high emotion that your genuine feelings that you keep suppressed emerge. Now you can make that argument, and I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I haven't experienced my background. And I'm not giving this woman a pass. Yes, you can't get away with that. She has to account for it. Doesn't mean because she might not be a genuine racist, doesn't mean she should get away with it. No. No, fine the fucker. Fine the bejesus out of her. You don't get to shout at people and scream at them and call them fucking packies and call them terrorists. You don't get to do that. Regardless of what you really think, you'll be fine, love. Job done. But is she a racist? Don't know. Difficult. There she is. "You are a terrorist," she said. "Don't forget that." It's fucking idiocy. That's how I feel, right? That's how I feel about it. Doesn't mean I'm right, you see, because my feelings don't trump facts. Okay, so feel free to shoot me down. And I'll take it. Don't know what I'm doing on the radio show today. I will be with you, of course. Might open the Skype at some stage. I don't know. It's been a crazy 2 weeks since I've been back. I've enjoyed being back these last 2 weeks. And somebody was due to be on with me today. And then they've overnight they've said to me that they can't come on. So I'll see what I'm going to do. But I will be with you at 5. Think on that. You might think I'm a right spaz for saying she's not racist, but we just don't know. I told you a story. I told you a story 3 years ago on the Richie Allen radio show. Some of you are shocked. I have used the word nigger once and once only, directed at somebody. I was 19 years old. I was in a chipper. A chipper is a place where you get fish and chips after you've been to the pub. Drinks were taken. It was kicking off in the chipper. And there was a young black lad in Waterford whom I know very well, and I got to know very well. And he was under the weather with drinks, and he was causing problems. And he was being a real fucking idiot. And it kicked off. Words were exchanged. And I admitted this, I said this before, I called him a nigger. I was 19. It was a terrible thing to do. It was terribly wrong. Those of you who've been with me long enough will remember me telling the story. It was fucking lousy. He was horrified by it. Punches were thrown. Not very many. Security intervened. And as sure as I'm sitting here, about a month later, I bumped into the chap. He was at a football match. And I spoke to him and I apologised. I said, look. And he apologised as well. And I said, look, that fucking, I should never have said that, you know. And he said, we say the things that hurt the most, don't we, when we're absolutely pissed off. And I said, we do. And I said, I hope you don't think that me saying that to you is in any way indicative of any negative feelings I might have for, you know, for you. And he said, no, I don't. And that was that. I was 19. I'm 45 now. So when I see stories like that, I think the angrier we are, and of course, society is angry. People are angry for any number of reasons. We say bad things, don't we? We say things that we don't mean. Again, some of you will say, well, you say things that you do really mean, Richie. It's just that when you're in a temper, you don't suppress them. No, I wasn't suppressing before my stupid moment any negative feelings towards black men and women. I was just an arsehole that night. There you are. Okay. And there's more than one black in water for Dara, and there was then as well. Right, that's it for me for now. We will be back at 5 o'clock, and it's on the usual channels. Triggerwarning.tv for a different take on the big stories of the week. Hayden and Graham, they were on air last night, I believe. Their big shows are on Tuesday and Thursday. The archives are on YouTube. Check them out, they're good lads. And I'll be with you at 5 o'clock for the Richie Allen Radio Show. Bye.